state office. Maybe just give it a couple more minutes for people to log on and participate or come and join us in person. So I'll check back in here in just two or three more minutes. All right, it's 9:33. I think we should go ahead and get started. We're meeting today on July 7th, 2022 at 9:33 a.m. in fulfillment of the Governor's Zero-Based Rulemaking Initiative set forth in Executive Order 2020-01. Today's public meeting is the second public negotiated rulemaking meeting in association with promulgating a new dam safety rule as required by Idaho Code 42-17-14. Which mandates that the Idaho Water Resource Board adopt and revise from time to time such rules as may be necessary for carrying out the provisions of Idaho Code sections 42.17.10 through 17.21. And these are the code sections that pertain to Idaho's dam safety program and mine tailings impoundment structures. IDWR published its notices of intent to promulgate these rules on May 4th, 2022 in Idaho Administrative Bulletin Volume 22.5. Under docket number 37-0305-2201. To date, this promulgation has been a combination of two former rules, IDAPA 370305 mine tailings impoundment structure rules and IDAPA 370306 safety of dam rules, both of which have been repealed as part of the ZBR process and are currently being renegotiated. A couple of words on etiquette. Please be civil in your conduct and your comments. With everyone participating in the rulemaking, if you are online, please ensure that your phone is muted except when you are speaking. We don't want to have to mute folks or kick people out, but we will if there's too much disruption. I don't anticipate that. We don't have a real large group here. You can also use the raise your hand feature with WebEx if you're familiar with that, and we've got someone tracking that, and we'll get around to calling on you. So my name is Matt Weaver. I'm the Deputy Director with the Department of Water Resources. I'm also its Rules Regulation Officer. And I'm joined here today by John Falk. He's the professional engineer who is the program manager for IDWR's Safety of Dams program. And then I'm also joined by Sarah Shaw. She's a paralegal and is supporting all of our rulemaking efforts, including this one. So I do have a roster from the previous meeting and from people that have submitted comments. I guess from my standpoint, it might be easiest for me to read down through this roster and put an X by anyone who's participating. A lot of the numbers online don't have names, just numbers. And then we'll pick up anyone that I missed at the end of that. So we'll start with the roster that I have here. And when you hear your name, please just confirm that you're participating, if you are. So with Ada County, Lorna Jorgensen.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Gary Luzinger with Arrowhead Water District. Lucas Yockey with Big Lost River Irrigation District. Martin Bilbao with Bilbao & Company.
Here.
Mike Klaus with City of Bonners Ferry. Ryan Foy with Delamar Mining Company.
Here.
Robert Molnar with Delamar. Mike Spiker with Delamar. Chuck Brocious with Environmental Defense Institute. Tammy Thatcher with Environmental Defense Institute.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can, Tammy. Thank you. Melissa Arnold with Hecla.
I'm here. Thank you.
Lance Bolin with Hecla. Clay Thomas with Hecla. And then Will Tiedemann with the Idaho Conservation League. He's here in person and he's signed in. Alex Brecky with Idaho Power. Chris Edwards with Idaho Power. Paul Waltz with Idaho Power. Tim Arnold with Integra. Carlisle Miller with IDAFOS.
Here.
Alan Prouty with Simplot is also here in the room. Adam Wadsworth with Simplot. John Hawk with Jenkins Creek Ranch. Mark Lynn with Lamb Weston. Brent Hoffner with Meadowlark Ranch.
I'm here.
We can hear you. Thank you. Benjamin Davenport. Okay. I'll just note that Mr. Davenport did submit written comments, which have been posted to our webpage on behalf of Mining Idaho Mining Association.
Yeah, he's asked me to represent the Idaho Mining Association.
Okay. And then we also have him down as with an entity called Mine Idaho. Do you know what that is?
That's just our website.
Oh, okay. But maybe for the purposes of this rulemaking and who he represents, Idaho Mining Association?
Yes.
Okay. Mark Ispin with Montpelier Irrigation Company. Yeah. Robin Armstrong with the Nez Perce Tribe Department of Fisheries.
I'm here. Thank you.
Michael Lopez with the Nez Perce Tribe Legal Counsel. Gene Bosley with Perpetua.
Yeah, I'm here.
Alan Haslam with Perpetua. Mackenzie Lyon with Perpetua. Jordan Nielsen with Perpetua.
Jordan's on vacation.
Thanks. Rod Gonzalez with Rod Gonzalez Pitchfork Ranch. Fred Carreel with Save the South Fork. Save the South Fork Salmon, sorry. Suzanne Budge, SBS Associates. James South, Sun Valley Resort. Erica Malman, Thompson Creek Mine. John Welsh, Welsh Hagen Associates.
I'm here.
And then Will Smith with Westerberg and Associates.
I'm here.
All right, thanks. And I've missed one person in the room. Okay. Can we get your email before you leave? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And did we miss anyone online participating?
This is Michael McCurdy with Idaho Department of Environmental Quality.
Thanks, Mike.
Company.
I'm sorry. Sounds like we missed that last person.
Nico Lostra with Bill Bowen Company.
Okay, Nico. Is that everyone? All right. Well, with introductions aside, I'll kind of move on to some opening comments here that I've prepared. I want to thank folks for participating, and I also want to thank in particular those people that submitted written comments. They are quite helpful to the process. You're more than welcome to submit oral testimony, but when we do get that in writing, it's easier for us to identify what the specific comment is and respond. Quite helpful. Comments range from being very general in nature and focused on the process to hyper-specific comments focused on technical details in the rule. All of the comments are useful, and we are preparing a summary of the comments and a summary of the department's responses to that, but that is a large task, and it's not completed yet. Hope to have it done. IDWR is working on a second draft rule, and depending on today's conversation, we hope to have it published by next Thursday, July 14th. However, as a threshold issue, I think to moving forward, it's appropriate to discuss the issue of separating the dam safety and mine tailing impoundment structure rules, which is a request that was made in written comments by several entities. As I said, several of these entities requested that the department reconsider combining the dam safety rules and the mine tailing impoundment rules into a single rule. But the department is reluctant to do that for a number of reasons, which I'll put out here and discuss, and then would invite some discussion from participants. We've moved down this path for a number of reasons. One, combining the rule achieves the objectives of the governor's zero-based rulemaking initiative. It reduces redundancy It cleans up inconsistencies with Idaho code, and it reduces regulatory burden, which is the primary objective of the governor, by simplifying individual rule complexities and reducing the overall number of rules. IDWR views mine tailing impoundment structures as a subcategory of dams, not as a separate and distinct structure class needing its own rules. And I think you can see this in the Idaho statutes, Title 42, Chapter 17, subchapters 10 through 21. Those are the chapters that address both dam safety, regulated dams, and mine tailing impoundment structures. Some of the comments do point out the differences between regulating dams that impound water and regulating dams that impound tailings and or tailings in water. Some of those differences are dealing with technical differences between the two, and then, of course, obviously the bonding requirements associated with mine tailing impoundment structures. But there are many similarities between regulating dams that impound water and that impound tailings. Similarities include the legal authority, definitions, and dam features, technical design plan specification and report requirements, needs for emergency action plans. Much of the design considerations for both are similar. Much of the construction methods for both are similar. And then the operation and maintenance requirements are similar in many ways. Reasons put forth for not combining the rule included technical differences between mine tailing impoundment structures and other dams, difficulty in finding consensus with a diverse combined stakeholder group that we've got by combining the two rules, and then a concern that merging the rules creates uncertainty in the mining community.
There may be one more that, yes, Greenlight. There may be the other with the dimensional aspect. Statute does not involve the Water Resources Department for mine tailing structures that are less than 30 feet tall. The dam safety statutes include all structures that are 10 feet and 50 acre feet storage capacity. So there is that distinction. But other agencies are included in the mine tailings impoundment structures rules, where the dam safety statutes are pretty much standalone with the Idaho Department of Water Resources.
So I'd invite comment from people participating in today's rulemaking. I am interested for more detail on how merging the rules creates uncertainty in the mining community. That was one of the comments that was put forth. And I think it would just be useful for us to have a little bit more understanding of concerns about moving forward with the combined rule. So in the room, I don't know if anyone would like to come up to the microphone. We'll go with Alan first, then with Will. And then we'll move to folks online. State your name for the record.
This is Alan Crowdy. I'm here today representing.
Hit that button right there.
Thanks.
There you go, sir.
This is Alan Crowdy here representing today the Idaho Mining Association and J.R. Supply Company. And both organizations had submitted written comments recommending that the department go back to having two separate rules. And I think first off, from just a big picture perspective, you know, we realize that the governor, through the executive order, is working on having a careful evaluation done around the rules and looking for opportunities to streamline those. But I think, unfortunately, what we're seeing is that, and I think part of the intent was that hopefully we're making the regulations easier to utilize, to be utilized by the regulated community, easier to understand, easier to follow. I think in the case of combining these two, we're not achieving that objective. As within the mining industry, as we have looked at the initial draft that the department put together that does the combination, I think that there are certain aspects related to what I'm going to call overall dam safety that I don't know that they fit real well, and I think just add regulatory confusion as to how that applies to mine tailings impoundments. And so from our perspective, we really do think it'd be better to keep them separate. Appreciate what the department has just said around they're thinking about wanting to continue with one rule, but we do think it's important that they actually stay as separate rulemakings. So I'm not sure. We stand for questions that you might have.
Thank you. I just have one comment that mine tailings impoundment structures deserve to be looked at with regard to safety. Some of the most recent huge failures have involved mine tailings impoundment structures. Therefore, dam safety has to include mine tailings impoundment structures. So whether they're split apart or combined, the statute 1709, it's the intent of the legislature to regulate these structures for public safety. That's the intent.
Yes. And I understand that. I refer to the dam safety because I think that's specifically what the existing rules have been called to differentiate them from the mine tailings impoundment regulation. So I agree wholeheartedly with that. And like I said, we don't, we're not saying that we're opposed to going back and looking at the existing rules and seeing if there are some modifications that are needed. We just prefer that they be their own separate rule. All right. Hey, thank you.
Well, I have one question for you, Mr. Purdy. So, Matt Weaver here. And the former person talking was John Falk with Department of Water Resources. Do you think it would be possible for us to add clarity to the draft rule in the second draft that would address some of your concerns that perhaps it's not clear if certain requirements in the new rule should be or are not or are binding on mine tailing impoundment structures? So can we work with the existing rule to address most of your concerns?
I suppose anything is possible. But it's hard to say without really knowing the details, right? Because I always say the devil's in the details,
sure.
Right? You know, and how the, like, even some things like definitions, you know, maybe in terms of what I'm going to call tailings impoundments, a certain definition may be more appropriate for that versus other types of impoundments, right? So I think that's the crux of the problem.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Tiedemann.
Tiedemann. This is Will Tiedemann with the Idaho Conservation League here in person. I had a couple questions. Hope we can get some clarity on, but I guess maybe a comment first. I think the issue of whether combining these rules is prudent or not is really two issues. It is not prudent for people who are used to two separate rules and want to continue to understand them that way. But perhaps for future, industry or individuals that these rules are relevant to, coming into a rule that is combined in the future may be more easy for them to understand. So I think obviously IDWR has to balance what is the value of that future benefit of people coming in and understanding these rules from in a vacuum, so to say, versus the effort that is required of industry and all other individuals to get up to speed and be used to, for maybe lack of a better term, of a combined rule. So I don't want to assume, but I am curious to know if some of the individuals in the industry have taken the full time to diagnose and dive into the technical details of the rule and whether there is some reluctancy to spend that effort that maybe is prudent on their part. I spent a good time in the rules, not every line by line, because to see how the changes from going from 2 to 1 line by line is a significant effort. I know Tammy Thatcher with the Environmental Defense Institute, maybe more than anyone, has combed over these rules and tried to go line by line. What I would say, and kind of getting to my first question, is when IDWR went and combined these two rules into one, was there a record kept with this technical substantive changes to the rules previous, you know, two rules versus the straw man. I can't imagine somebody was going through and just making technical changes without a summary record in an Excel sheet or some other document. Has that been done? Does that exist when the process was being?
Go ahead, John.
Yes, initially we took the dam safety rules and the mine tailings rules. We laid them out side by side, and each rule for each category was examined. They were laid in a single publication, which we put together internally. After that was done, we attempted to decide which new rule they would fit best under. And then after that had been completed, we went through and made technical changes to the proposed draft. So it was initially it was a three-step process, which we do have record of here. It isn't the cleanest thing to look at, but we do have record of it. So that is available. I believe we can make that available if you would like to view it.
Yeah, and I guess I'll follow up. Does that document, for example, you know, there was technical changes to some of the design considerations for flood events, 500 years to 100 years kind of thing. Was, when technical substantive changes were made to the rule, is there a document that says why it was done and justifying why it was done? And I guess I'll follow up that again with the statute. Executive order has language saying where the benefits of regulations can be still achieved by other means, that's the intent. And has the department, along with those notes, saying, okay, we're reducing regulation, there's a benefit previously for this regulation, here's the proposed alternative for how that benefit will be realized. Is there any notes or documents for, I guess, following up on that part of the executive order?
So, Mr. Tiedemann, I first just add a little bit to John's response to you from your previous comment and then address the latter. First, John referred to a large document that we published to our webpage. I'm holding a physical copy of it here in my hand. This was published to our webpage as the comparison of existing IDAPA 370305 and existing IDAPA 370306 rules. It's dated May 3rd, 2022. This was kind of the work product that we put together to launch this effort. And it is messy and maybe is lacking some of the comment and detail that you'd like. And then in addition, we put together IDAPA 370305 and 370306 rule comparison matrix, which is also published to our webpage, dated May 23rd. And that, again, is a more succinct one-page summary of here's what was in the mine tailings, here's what is dam safety, our very cursory view of are these the same, are they similar, or are they unique to each rule, and then combining them. And it's kind of, I look at it as the path, the flow chart, I guess, if you will, to lay out where things went from the existing rule to the new rule. So I think those are both useful tools. In addition to that, I was just looking at all of the drafts that we had during this process, and there's 21 versions of the drafts that department staff worked on in getting to that draft rule. Happy to publish that out to the webpage, maybe as a zip file, and so people can just see all of that work product. I'm not sure there's a lot of value in it, but people might find value in it, I guess. You'll see in that a lot of track and underscoring, and then probably some comments in the margins where there was some discussion, you know, back and forth in drafting or in preparing that draft rule. Other than that, department staff, myself, John, and Corey Skinner, who is a longtime engineer with the department doing dam safety work, we met a handful of times in person to work through these drafts. And so I think a lot of that discussion you're looking for probably wasn't documented in writing. In fact, I know it wasn't documented in writing. The last comment I would make is that we are receiving all of your written comments, and we are preparing a summary. And I think a lot of perhaps that justification or thought that you're looking for on the department's process will be included in those responses. And that's not prepared yet. It hasn't been published yet.
And I guess I'll respond to that. I think right now the process is inadequate to kind of meet what that executive order states. It is not clear what regulations are being reduced and what and how that benefit of those regulations is otherwise being fulfilled. And that the executive order also talks about maximizing public participation. Thank you. And I think that is not also not being carried out, because clearly there are folks in the industry who have not even said, we'll look at this because it's too hard. And it's not being maximized, whether there's a shared burden for people to do their due diligence and IDWR to make that as easy as possible. I think that's a shared burden. To compare and contrast this to other agencies, for example, IDQ, I don't know if they've run into a challenge such as this where they've tried to combine a rule. It's always been one chapter. But typically it's been, they have published a red line strikeout of the draft rule. There's been a public meeting where they go over all the edits and they talk about, you know, we had discussion. Here's why we changed these rules. Here's why we did that. And it's very clear and transparent what is changing and why it's being done. I think that has been a great example for how this process has been going. Like I said, I tend to lean on, I think perhaps it is best to keep the chapter separate so a similar process can be done. This way is absolutely clear and transparent versus what is changing, and there can be discussion for why it is changing. Again, IDWR probably has to weigh the benefits of, you know, in a vacuum, and future users approaching one chapter versus two might have benefit, and whether that outweighs, you know, whether keeping them separate, that's, you know, that's maybe a larger discussion. So I guess, I think it is imperative that IDWR needs to help maximize precipitation and needs to be absolutely clear on following with the executive order on, you know, where regulation is being reduced. It needs to be shown and justified how that benefit is being maintained otherwise. And I guess I don't want to take up too much time, but I feel like I do have some other follow-up quick important questions. Is that...
Well, 1 second, Ms. Teacher, sure. Just a little bit of response. Don't worry about time. We've scheduled the whole day. So we want the comment and the feedback. We appreciate it. I will say that I think it is fair to ask whether separating or going forward with a combined rule, that's a threshold question to me. I think it needs to be answered. And so for those people that haven't submitted detailed comments yet, I guess I wish they had, but I can appreciate why they didn't, because I think it's kind of a fundamental question. We need to get past it. We need to make that decision and move forward one way or another. Regarding the concern about transparency, I think we probably initially would have liked to have had a document where we crossed out and underlined, but it became pretty obvious to us pretty early on that that wasn't going to be feasible. And that will be the process going forward. So from draft one moving forward, every document will have track changes associated with it, and we're happy to have discussion about that at upcoming negotiated meetings. So just engage in Q&A on that. We're also happy to do that with a document that exists today. So if people want to look at that draft document that's been published and ask us specific questions here today about why we change things, you know, I think that's an appropriate use of our time today.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you. And I am familiar with, you know, the documents you shared for the comparison matrix. It is useful in a starting place, but again, it doesn't immediately address, you know, here is the language of this rule and here how it is directly changed. I guess you can infer that by looking at it, but there's no commentary as to why it was changed. And I think that's where the lack of transparency is my ICL's issue right now.
I might also just comment that the spirit of the governor's initiative is zero base, which is that you don't merely edit the previous version, but you start from the basis of no regulation and then you build up the new regulation. And so in many ways, I think we've fulfilled the spirit of that executive order, perhaps more than in some of the other rulemakings that I participated or are familiar with, because we did see the opportunity here to genuinely create a better product.
True. I agree. That is the spirit of the regulation. But I would say to do that process without acknowledging what exists before doesn't make sense. You presumably had these rules that were well negotiated and reviewed in the past, and language and technical details and requirements were included for very specific reasons. To say it is all worthless and wasn't done for purpose and we need to start from zero and we should not compare and contrast those is, I think, is wrong. Obviously, And that's, and again, kind of going back to the transparency, it's very difficult to tell what the technical substantive changes from the current chapters and rules to what's currently happening.
I don't want to be argumentative here, but I do need to point out that the statute was changed in 2016, where the size and the storage capacity of reservoirs and dams revised for state regulation and professional engineer design requirements. So we've been working on statutes, 6 years now, where the rules are in direct conflict with statute. Therefore, a lot of these changes had to be made in order to now match existing statute. So that was a big push. COVID kind of interrupted this whole process. Not an excuse, but just a reality. So we're perhaps 2 years behind the curve on this. But we did not construct this stuff out of whole cloth. You can go back to existing rule on both mine tailings impoundment structures and the dam safety statutes to see what existed. And we've tried to bring in the important items that still apply and are consistent with statute, and those that are duplicative or no longer apply due to changed engineering standards, construction standards, were removed. So there is a path. You're right, it isn't spelled out step by step, but the information is available and it is there. So I just you go back at what we had to do in order to get to this place.
So maybe kind of understand your comments there. Are you saying because statute was changed, the rules did no longer met statute, they needed to be updated, and some of those updates due to changes in statute are happening as part of this EDR?
That's correct.
Then I would argue that that is outside the scope of ZBR and was not fully transparent towards the public. Please correct, maybe I missed some language on, you know, IDW's website, but I think that adds to the confusion, saying, you know, and obviously, yes, statute, they must be changed, but it adds to the confusion and the lack of transparency on why things are happening. Are they happening because, you know, was technical changes made because they need to comply with statute? Or because ZBR, and we don't, we think these benefits can be, realized in other ways without regulation.
Mr. Tiedemann, I would just say, Matt Weaver here, I don't think that those are mutually exclusive. I think all of that occurred. Part of the guidance, I think, if you go back and read the ZBR initiative, is to correct inconsistencies between statute and rule. For many agencies, our department in particular didn't do a lot of year in and year out rulemaking because it is an arduous process. And so you did get a divergence between the rule and the statute. If you look back through some of those rules before we got into this, annual cycle of the legislature not repromulgating our rules or reauthorizing the rules, you could see that those dates of when the rule was last changed in many instances dated back to the 90s. And so, I would just say nothing nefarious, no obfuscation intended here. We're just taking this opportunity to update those rules and close that gap between what the rule used to say and what the law now says. And just in general, we want to be transparent. We're not up here saying that transparency is not appropriate, that we don't want to participate with you now to bring light to these changes and understanding to why the department made these. But that traditional role that you've outlined where there's this clear document with what we started from and where we're at now and what the changes are, I just think that that's difficult at this point to achieve. And I'm not sure we could have achieved it because of the ZBR aspect of this and the combination of the two rules. But moving forward, we're committed to hearing your comments and questions and providing the justification for the changes, or at least the our reasoning.
Gotcha. Thank you, and I acknowledge that. It is, you make correct points. that perhaps it does make sense, but I guess perhaps it just could have been a little more transparent about how some of these changes are strictly more ZBR, as in this is unclear, or this is poorly worded and it causes confusion over regulation, versus this is really changing primarily because of changes in statute. I think that could have been a little more transparent. And I guess another question I wanted to kind of that is related is, are there, I'm not as familiar with some of, you know, IDWR rules as other, you know, regs, but is there an overarching federal regulation or that for these state regulations, for example, you know, surface water standards, you know, with an IDQ have to comply with the Clean Water Act, right? So they have to at least, you know, meet those requirements. Is there something comparable here where a federal agency or entity will be reviewing these rules and have to approve them in the similar manner that happens with EPA and IDQ?
This is John Falk. No, there is not. The state attempts to follow the general recommendations and standards that are outlined in that other federal safety, dam safety agencies use. And there's also an organization called the Association of State Dam Safety Officials, ASDSO, that compiles the various rules and regulations for each state and tries to promote improvement in safety standards for these types of structures. There's also international organizations that do similar, but unlike, say, EPA and IDEQ, there is no federal requirement that sits on top of the state's dam safety statutes. There's the National Dam Safety Program Act that was initiated. It came into being after Teton failure. So in that sense, we're all working in the same direction, but there is not there's not a overarching regulation as you asked.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's all my questions. Like I said, I just want to leave with the final kind of big picture. I guess my bottom line concern is that for many of these technical and substantive changes, they weren't done randomly. They were done deliberately with reason and with justification. And I think to meet the ZBR and to meet maximum public precipitation, I think IDWR needs to outline where regulations are being reduced, where that realized benefit will be maintained elsewhere. And I feel that process is not adequately being done right now. And that's all I have. Thank you for your time.
One more person in the room, do you wish to provide comment?
Sorry, we had one more person in the room. She's not going to comment today. Maybe open it up for comment or questions to people participating online. If you do have the ability, please raise your hand and then we can call on you. Sarah, does anyone have their hand raised right now?
Not currently.
Anyone like to take the floor?
This is Tammy Thatcher. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
I would like to comment. I don't believe that this second public meeting should have ever been conducted without your written next straw man and without the compilation of the comments you received and your response to them. I'm basically stunned that you're conducting this meeting not having provided any additional information except that you intend to stay the course despite pleading to you that what you're doing creates a lack of clarity, more confusion, and the statements you have presented to say how you went through 21 versions and carefully made all these rules, it doesn't dovetail with the multitude of errors and mistakes in the straw man that was issued. So somehow this agency is underestimating the level of effort involved. And I cannot believe that this second public comment, so-called public comment opportunity, where we don't have anything to comment on, is being – it's obviously just a stepping through the process placeholder to make it appear that you allowed the public to give input, but we didn't have anything to input to provide input on at this second meeting. So I'm still in shock and awe. I'm in shock at the way that safety and design regulations have been greatly reduced. This obviously has something to do with the large campaign donations to people in political offices in this state from the mining industry. You reduce costs when you reduce safety standards, and your changes reduce safety standards without ever coming out and saying that's what you're doing. But you do it in a multitude of ways, and you never justify it. And this song and dance you guys are giving, to me, it's shocking, giving the importance to the environment and to human health and safety of what it is you're making rules on. It's just shocking, and there's no way that this public meeting should count as any kind of public opportunity, because we had nothing more to review. You did not provide a compilation of your responses to the comments, other than your intention is to ignore all of the comments you received to say, no, you're going to combine the two rules into one despite what anybody says, and no, you're not going to go back and do a red line strikeout from the beginning so that we can see how this really changed. You're only going to start from your midpoint of this initial straw man, which was making dozens and dozens of rule changes that were not just combining the two rules, it was changing the requirements in the rules, which you do not go through and justify or even acknowledge that you're doing. So I want that to be clear. This you guys go ahead and issue your next version, but then you need to hold another public meeting. This public meeting should not count. So I hope that folks take some time to read the comments that were posted, because this meeting has really not portrayed in a meaningful way all of the problems with the rulemaking effort thus far. It has really misportrayed everything to do with what people made comments on that were of substance, and these are very important rules that affect the environment, affect human safety, and I am still in shock and awe at how you guys are whitewashing through a massive amount of safety design requirement reductions. So thank you, though. That's my comment.
Thank you, Ms. Thatcher. Just a couple of things quickly in response. I just want to assure you that your comments are being read. I personally have spent multiple days, more than 3 days, reviewing comments, preparing written responses, researching legislation, researching other states and how they do things, and preparing the responses. It's a large work effort. It wasn't done in time for this meeting. When you say that this meeting shouldn't count, I don't know what you mean. It is a public meeting. We can have more. I anticipate that we need to have more. We'll save that for the last agenda item here today. I want to give you that opportunity, everyone that opportunity, to ask questions and to hear the department's reasons for the changes. I would also just comment that the dam safety engineers at the department have dedicated their professional careers to pursuing public safety and protection of private property by ensuring that dams and mine tailing impoundment structures are constructed properly, designed properly, operated and maintained properly. And so I would just ask that you be a little bit more sensitive when you describe the careers of these people and our work efforts as a sham or having some motive other than ensuring public health and safety. There have been a lot of changes to the professional standards, to the statutes surrounding this field since these rules were last modified. There are a lot of changes. We want to make sure that you understand why we've made them and that we're transparent.
I would like to say, I said holding this public meeting without your compilation of responses to comments was a sham because there was nothing for the public to review. You telling me that you've reviewed the comments does not tell me how you are responding to the comments, okay? So I said this public meeting is a sham. I did nothing to imply disrespect to the professionals. However, I pointed out dozens of errors, and you know you have admitted to many errors in the draft, in the straw man. And that tells what I said was you have underestimated the level of effort that needed to go into this. And that was in no way disrespectful to any of the professionals on your staff. But you need to be explaining why you had so many errors throughout the straw man. The straw man, you tell us you had 21 versions of. So there's something wrong with the level of effort and the level of review, whether people are not given enough time to sit down and concentrate. I don't know what it is, but there's something very wrong with the entire process when not a damn expert, can pick out dozens of errors in your straw man. And I can see you have refused to acknowledge the multitude of errors that were in that straw man. I suppose that's embarrassing. And I'm sorry if that's embarrassing, but that is not a disrespect to the professionals. It just suggests that people have not been given the time, undistracted time, to really go through this. And part of it is the whole process of make changes on the fly that you're not going to explain to the public that are changing decades of dam safety regulations, and you don't feel the need to explain it. Your mining people can't understand it. Certainly judges and other people are not going to be able to understand why you did what you did. We can't even follow what you did. It was so unclear, and it was so riddled with so many mistakes. And I'm not expecting a high-quality product in the short time that you claim one is going to be coming out. And I think we need a very high-quality product. You do have the dedicated professionals, but somehow this process has been so fragmented, and people are, maybe owning this little part or that little part. And here were all these mistakes. And I think you need to acknowledge there's a problem there, and it is not because I created a problem. I shouldn't have been fined. There shouldn't have been all those errors to find. And you need to be explaining why all those errors were in the straw man. So thank you. I'm sorry to go on for so long.
All right, Ms. Thatcher, thank you for your comments. Anyone else wish to have the floor? And again, we've scheduled a bit of time here today. I do think the meeting is valuable. As I said, we had kind of this threshold question of whether to move forward with separate or combined rules. I did want the opportunity to hear questions on that and engage. We've had that. But we do have more time, and if people wanted to ask specific questions about the draft rule that has already been published and hear responses from the department, we're here today to do that. If no one's ready to engage, I guess, in that detail, we can think about scheduling the next meeting.
I'd like to encourage everyone who's here to look at the draft, read the language that each rule addresses, and comment on the existing rule, focus on the existing rule. Certainly look back and see how it may have changed, but look at the rule itself with regard to the proposed safety and technical issues that it addresses. That I think is real helpful for us. We apologize that not everything is ready for the meeting, perhaps as you may have anticipated or desired, but you know, this is a continuing process. We're not trying to whitewash anything, we ask for your assistance as well. Certainly notifying us of mistakes is very helpful. Sometimes they just get missed, but we do intend to make corrections as we proceed through this process.
I don't see any hands up. One more, I guess, chance for people to ask questions or provide additional comment here today, not to be the end of all comment by any means. Well, seeing and hearing nothing, there is this fundamental question of whether to move forward with separate rules or continue forward on the path that we've laid out here with a combined rule. I think the notice of intent publication probably allows us to go either direction, so it wouldn't require any additional publications in the administrative bulletin. I will just say for my own part, I feel somewhat committed to moving forward, but I want to elevate this question and this discussion to the Director of the Department of Water Resources in the Governor's Office, and I'll commit to do that here over the next week. Have the discussion, tell them where we're at, see if they feel strongly one way or another. So, you know, within a week's time, I would like to send out communication to all of the stakeholders on that regard. And if we do move forward with a combined rule, then have that draft, that second draft rule out again within a week's time. It was close. I worked hard to get it done for this meeting. I apologize that I fell short of that. Tammy, I think when you see that, you'll see that we've at least engaged in good faith to answer many of your questions. What I would suggest, if we move forward, is to schedule a third meeting and get it on the calendar. If ultimately we bifurcate the rules and move forward with separate rulemakings, we probably would need to vacate that hearing date and schedule additional hearing dates that are out a little bit further into the future. If we move forward under the combined rule, then you'll have the work product out there, a second draft. You'll have a summary of comments and responses. And I think it would be appropriate to have a third meeting where we come together and we make ourselves available to answer specific questions to that second draft, and then have another period of written comment after that third meeting and another potential draft before we get to the proposed rulemaking stage. Yes, Mr. Tiedemann.
I just want to make one final comment that I thank the department for their time and effort on this. I come from working at the state and at IDEQ previously. It is often a thankless job. So thank you for your effort. I appreciate that. I'm confident that we can move forward and reach a good resolution. But I do want to reiterate, you know, I think there are errors that need correcting, and I'm confident we'll get through that. But it doesn't mean that the department isn't working hard on this. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments. So I have the July calendar up in front of me. And my thought for scheduling the third public negotiated meeting would be 3 weeks from today. That'd be Thursday, July 28th. Okay. We'll have to recruit backup. Thanks, Sarah. So two possible paths forward. Moving forward under the combined rule, we would have that third negotiated meeting on the 28th. You would have at least two other work products to review a week from today. That would be the second draft. That would be a summary of comments and responses. But if we move forward under separate rules, we would probably vacate that July 28th date and send out some kind of scheduling notice to all of the participants regarding those separate rulemakings. Without any further comment, I guess we're adjourned for the day. Again, I appreciate your participation in person and in submitting written comments. Negotiated rulemaking is often contentious, but hopefully by everyone participating, all sides of the issue, we're going to have a strong rule at the end of this, or multiple rules. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.